Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I'm going to be giving you a quick update on the Timothy Holmeseth case. If you are unaware of who he is, please refer to my earlier shows. But to remind those who may not remember the full story, Timothy Holmeseth is an award-winning journalist who uncovered an alleged powerful pedophile ring operating on a Broward County, Florida, and other areas of the country. There is speculation and some proof that it's related to Jeffrey Epstein. But, you know, there are so many on my investigations. There are so many very powerful pedophile rings that are much like Jeffrey Epstein's, who are blackmail rings tied to the highest levels of the government. So that one that he allegedly uncovered is supposedly related to Jeffrey Epstein, which I would not be surprised if it was. But when he started speaking of these crimes, Kim Picasso, a lawyer and person who Holmeseth had reported on, who has very questionable activities herself, and not only according to Holmeseth, but also based on affidavits that I read that came from different witnesses that supplied those to the court, she was very upset with Holmeseth saying anything that would hurt her reputation, no matter what, even if he's a journalist and it's his freedom of speech. So she created a bogus family domestic charge in Florida. And this charge is completely bogus because Timothy has never been to Florida, nor is he a family member of Picasso. So I don't know how you can have a family domestic violence charge. But just to let you know, this is all a misdemeanor that they came up with. So when you start hearing all the things that are happening to him, this is all based on a bogus misdemeanor charge that this Kim Picasso, who is very shady in her own right, came up with. And, you know, it's very disturbing to me when I look at all this stuff that they're going this hard after Timothy Holmeseth, when these affidavits came through showing very questionable behavior on all these other characters, especially Picasso, which he was reporting on. They ignored all of that and instead are going after Timothy Holmeseth. So this is why there's so many red flags in this case and why he needs support. And let me just tell you a couple things that happened with this bogus charge just before I get into some more details of this jury trial coming up. He has been arrested 4 times. He's been forced to undergo multiple psychiatric evaluations, which he's all passed. His life has been threatened numerous times. You know, Picasso and her team have threatened his life on numerous occasions. She claims she didn't personally do it, but it's very clear that a lot of the characters around her threaten his life. And there's also an affidavit showing that her husband, her ex-husband, I believe, I think they're divorced now, was going to kill him, threatened to kill him if he came to Florida. So he couldn't go there. So there's all these, you know, who should be filing a charge of domestic? It's bogus anyways. But if there's violence, it's not towards Picasso. It's the other direction. He has been harassed nonstop. All of this based on a misdemeanor bogus charge. Imagine if they can do this to Timothy Holmeseth. What are they doing to people on a nonstop basis? This is the justice system that needs to be cleaned up. Okay, before I tell you more about some of the crazy things that have been happening to Tim, I want to tell you there is a jury trial coming up this Monday, August 26th. Now, the jury trial was set back a few months ago, but now suddenly, just 2 days ago, there was a hearing that was set for 8:30 a.m. right before the jury trial. They didn't tell them what it was for. They just said, be prepared. They didn't serve them the paper saying that there's going to be a hearing. And they won't even tell them what it's for. So they're all confused, but they say, be prepared. And I will have a link of the actual recorded messages where Randy, one of the members of his team, she called and they recorded that call because she's confused. Everybody's confused as to what this hearing's for, but apparently they have to be there at 8:30. But I will have a link with directions and the address to the courthouse below. I highly recommend if you are anywhere in the area, Minnesota, North Dakota, please try to make it there and support Timothy. There are people coming from all over the world to support him. I know there's multiple people coming from Europe. There's a sketch artist coming because you can't have any recording devices or anything in this whole building. So they want to have some kind of proof of what's going on. There's people coming from Alaska. So there should be quite a few people coming. And I hope that many of you out there will choose to come and support Timothy. It's an important case going on in our country. There has been so many crazy things that are going on in this case. There has been 6 judges just in the past year, technically 7 judges. One judge was assigned to a hearing and that hearing got canceled. So now there's just been 6 judges that have actually been at running the hearings. Some of them actually have been flying in just for the hearings and leaving, coming out of retirement and then leaving. It's been just crazy, unheard of behavior. And give you some more things that have been going on. They are trying to get the files from Florida out of Broward County, and they've called and they can't get them directly. So they hired an attorney down in Broward County. His name is Charles Barron, and he has been calling and they aren't returning his phone calls. He's been calling different people. They can't even get the court files on this misdemeanor, bogus, trumped up domestic charge that Kim Picasso filed that all of this is based on. They can't even get the court files for it. So, I mean, just to tell you how crazy this has been, how can they defend themselves against a judgment in Florida that they can't even get the files on? So let me tell you some more crazy stuff that's going on. One of the things that they're trying to do is they're trying to take this misdemeanor charge, this bogus one, claim that he's violated it multiple times and turn it into a felony by saying that he's violated it 3 times. So 3 misdemeanors create a felony. And so they're just doing everything they can to create this felony charge. That's why it's becoming just the circus act that it has. Let me give you a little bit more snippets on what's going on. Timothy put out a statement. Okay, let me just read a part of it. It says, because members of a task force working under direct consent of U.S. Congress in relation to presidential executive orders regarding human trafficking, human rights violations, and consumer fraud, my cases under State of Minnesota versus Timothy Charles Holmseth were being monitored, and task force members alerted me via telephone. They observed there was a warrant for me appearing on the register of actions in Polk County, Minnesota. Task force members were able to assert that I was accused of violating probation. Without these task force members, he would have never known this happened. I was advised by Kirk Pendergrass over the telephone that it is not possible for the state of Minnesota to charge me with probation violation because probation is terms of release from confinement and requires a written agreement that meets all elements of the legal contract. Pendergrass told me it is impossible to violate probation while you're still in jail. I advised Judge Anderson I had not been served any papers in advance of the court hearing. The prosecutor for state of Minnesota, Attorney Ronald Gulstead, then lied, he said, this is Timothy saying this, the court that he served the papers to me in jail through the U.S. mail. No, Gulstead admits at the next hearing that he really didn't put it in the mail. During the April 4th, 2019 hearing, Attorney Ronald Gulstead requested the court issue an order directing the administrator of the Tri-County Community Correctional Facility to shut off, disable all of my telephone numbers. Attorney Gulstead argued that the only telephone number I should have available was a telephone number to a licensed Minnesota attorney. This was an action consistent with racketeering where Gulstead was attempting to force me to accept a bar attorney that was involved in organized crime with Gulstead. This was clearly an attempt to stop me from receiving assistance of counsel from Kirk Pendergrass or any other assistance of counsel of my choice. Judge Anderson ordered me held without bail until the probation violation hearing could be held. So he didn't even get bail for a misdemeanor. Judge Anderson reasoned I could be prevented from talking on the telephone and cited a ruling by a federal judge in the case brought by Robert Mueller against Roger Stone. The court scheduled a future probation violation hearing for April 16, 2019 to be heard by Judge Anne Marie Rasmussen. Judge Anderson said the hearing would not include a jury. Following the court hearing on April 4th, I discovered almost all of my telephone contacts had been electronically blocked in the computer system by the jail administrator. The telephone numbers of Chad Carter, Kurt Pendergrass, all having power of attorney, were blocked. Also blocked were immediate family and friends, religious spiritual advisors, support, and media contacts. That includes me. I was completely blocked. There was no court order ever issued by Judge Anderson regarding my telephone numbers and ability to communicate on the telephone. The telephone numbers were shut off in the computer system without a court order. The shutting off of my telephone numbers only required Gulstead personally talk to the Tri-County Correction Administrator. which is crazy that a prosecuting attorney can simply talk to a corrections administrator and they go ahead and do all that. On April 16th, 2019, a probation violation hearing was held before Judge Anne-Marie Rasmussen. On April 16th, 2019, Timothy Charles Holmseth was brought up to the courtroom from my jail cell wearing handcuffs and shackles. They had to handcuff him and shackle him just to make him feel like he was a total... This is all based on a misdemeanor charge, everybody. A bogus misdemeanor charge. When the court hearing commenced, I again advised the court my choice of legal counsel was Kirk Pendergrass and stated he was present. The court stated Kirk Pendergrass could not assist me with counsel. Okay. I, Timothy Charles Holmseth, advised the court that I was not served with court documents regarding the alleged probation violation before April 4th, hearing in front of Judge Anderson. I advised Judge Rasmussen that I was not given the documents until after the April 4th, 2019 hearing was over. I mean, these are the details. This is how they're abusing him. Keep listening to this and how what they did with this hearing. They're supposed to serve him papers, and how, if he didn't show up, then what would they have done? Okay. I, Timothy Charles Holmseth, advised Judge Rasmussen I received a manila envelope from a jail guard on a date following the April 4th hearing. I advised Judge Rasmussen the envelope given to me by the guard had postage stamps on it and had not been cleared or stamped by the post office, and showed Judge Rasmussen the envelope. I asked Judge Rasmussen to enter the envelope into evidence, but she denied my request. She wouldn't enter it into evidence. Judge Rasmussen said Gulsa's actions are basically okay because I eventually received the documents. I, Timothy Charles Holmseth, advised Judge Rasmussen the arrest warrant that was inside the manila envelope I received from the jail guard was blank, and I showed it to her. I advised Judge Rasmussen the documents included an affidavit of his service signed by an agent of attorney, Ronald Gulstead, who swore she placed the envelope in a U.S. mailbox in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. I advised Judge Rasmussen that attorney Ronald Gulstead told Judge Anderson they placed the envelope in the U.S. mail. Attorney Ronald Gulstead admitted in open court the envelope was not, in fact, mailed to me by U.S. mail. Attorney Ronald Gulstead admitted he had not mailed the envelope as he had previously told Judge Anderson on April 4th, but rather he hand-delivered the envelope to a jail guard on a date after the April 4th hearing. Judge Rasmussen told me it was okay because Attorney Gulstead admitted how he really did it. So he didn't even do it before the hearing, but now it's all okay because he admitted how he did it. Okay, crazy. This is just, they can do whatever they want. Judge Rasmussen rectified the issue I raised regarding the blank warrant that was delivered to me by the jail guard, whereby she printed me out a copy of the warrant using a printer by the judge's bench. So she just prints it up. After I was handed a copy of the freshly printed warrant by a Polk County deputy, I asked Judge Rasmussen the name of the judge that signed the warrant because I could not read it because it looked like illegible scribble. Judge Rasmussen replied, Judge Remick signed it. I asked Judge Rasmussen why the warrant did not have a court seal stamp on it. Judge Rasmussen said warrants have court stamps sometimes, but not all the time, apparently. Okay. So here's a few more things, and then I'll just post this so that you can see for yourself just the craziness on this. Timothy Holmseth, called East Grand Forks Sergeant Aliso Schrage, I'm not pronouncing that right, to the stand. Attorney Ronald Gulstead stated Sergeant Schrag was not present. I asked the court to disallow Sergeant Schrag's affidavit as hearsay. The court found it to be reasonable hearsay evidence and allowed it. I was not able to cross-examine Sergeant Schrag. Okay. I objected to the recordings of my jail telephone calls being admitted into evidence because there was no warrant as supporting affidavits to seize the recordings. There is no record of an affidavit, request for a warrant, or any other record that details who obtained the telephone recordings, by whom, when, why, or how. Judge Rasmussen ruled that because I was in jail, I was not protected by the Fourth Amendment. The seized telephone recordings contain my voice talking to a woman about the ritual sacrifice murder of Jacob Wetterling. So they were upset he violated his probation because he talked about a ritual sacrifice of Jacob Wetterling and information that he learned, and he was talking to an investigator. And that is not protected. And suddenly he violated it because he's talking about evidence and information he had. The seized telephone recordings also contain the voice of a woman advising me E-Clause LCC shut down the entire family court division in Ector County, Texas, which they should be scared of. Okay, so I am going to post all this for people on my website so you can see the rest of it. It's just crazy. You can see the list of judges that were in here. I mean, it's just crazy. And I want to remind everybody again when this court trial is. It is Monday, August 26th. It's scheduled for 9:00 at the Polk County Courthouse. There's a hearing at 8:30 a.m. before it. And I will have the link to the address and to the directions. And please, if you're in anywhere in the area, please try to make it there. We would like to get hundreds of people there to support him. This is one of the most important cases going on in our country, and it is so important that we support them at this time. I also want to tell you that there were federal marshals there to protect Timothy Homestead. So there are some things people are doing to keep him safe federally, not only the task force and he's in hiding, but while he's in court. So that is something that should make people's minds a little bit more at ease. But please, if you have the ability, please go and support him. And let's keep Timothy Homestead in our prayers. And thank you so much for listening to this show.